Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man, I tell you what, this is a giant mess. Chuck Schumer's on my television right now. He's not crying, though, thank God, because it was just so tough. That was him talking about the not banning of Muslims. Can we just phrasing? Let's do phrasing, right? When you phrase something like that, understand when you put something out there and you phrase it a certain way, people don't go any further into articles anymore. They go read the headline, read the paragraph that's on the front of whatever, and probably don't click through. So the talking point of the day is Muslims are banned. That's the talking point. It's like, that's it. Muslims are banned. Muslims are bad. They're banned. And it's all Muslims are banned. All of them? Well, not really all of them. You mean most countries coming? No, just seven from countries that are Yemen and Somalia and you know, Iran and Syria and Iraq and, you know, just like they, you know, just bad ones like that that have had a breakdown in society and, you know, people are running free there, you know, cutting off people's heads and stuff. And people have said that inside of ISIS, they're going to use the refugee program to sneak people over. But it's all Muslims. No, it's not all Muslims. It's not. And I understand that there is an anger up outside. I understand there's a worry. There, Trump has evoked fear, an emotion that will get us to do anything in life, right? If you're terrified, you'll do just about anything to get out of said situation. People are terrified that Trump is going to just destroy everything. There are people on the right who are terrified that he's going to trot all over the Constitution. It's understandable. But don't mix maybes with certainties. And that's what's happening right now. This is a knee-jerk reaction by an administration that is still trying to get itself up and running and get its legs underneath it and get into full flow. They're still troubling. They're still having troubles. Every administration goes through some growing pains and some learning pains on how they disseminate certain things out into the media. This was not a good thing that happened on Friday, the way that they delivered. That was it. Wasn't a horrible thing. Wasn't the worst thing of all. It is a temporary, it's not a ban. It's a temporary halting of visas and refugees into this country until we can vet them properly or we know that the vetting process is going on the correct way. That's it. They could have come out and said that on Friday night, put people's fears, at least as much as they possibly can, to rest. Here's the other thing. Donald Trump said, I'm going to do this, and he did it. I'm going to do this, and he did it. I'm going to do this, and he did it. I'm going to do this, and he did it. People are like, wow, he really meant all those. Yeah, I think he did mean all those. Shocker, I know. A politician that says he's going to do something, and he does it. But we can all take a step back and breathe. Before we go out to every airport tonight and piss people off, who are trying to get wherever the hell they're going, and they're already pissed off because they're at the airport at TSA anyways, and it's a nightmare, and then you're standing out there with your stupid signs singing stupid songs. Case in point, listen to this stupid song people were singing last night and chanting along the way at LAX or God knows where. Oh, that is just, people are such kiss asses. You had Starbucks. We're going to hire 10,000 refugees. What? Now, that's a business thing, too, because what you're saying is don't bomb my don't bomb my facilities because I'm nice to refugees. So please don't bomb my facility of my overpriced coffee, my luxury for white people, please. And that was also a way to appease the people that work for you because they're mostly of one mindset, mostly extremely liberal. You've got art history majors who can't find, you know, J-O-Bs. And they enjoy sitting there and being snooty with you because you didn't order your latte correctly. And they just, So it's interesting. But I want everybody to understand that I'm going to give it to you straight. All right? I don't go into super detail. I read all this crap all day long. And people say, why don't you go to super? Because it's the minutia stuff that nobody cares about, right? It's the minutia of the stuff that nobody cares about. I always tell everybody, watching a movie is amazing. Watching how a movie gets made is dull and boring. Hurry up and wait is what happens in movies. It's the same thing with politics. Let me give you the straight skinny on it, quick and easy, keep it simple, stupid, KISS, as they call it, and we move on. All you need to know is this is a temporary halting of visas, that it was about 120 people or so, give or take, that were slowed down from entering, that there have been local judges that have essentially overrode what the president has said, and those people got to come on in. 300,000+ people travel on a daily basis with visas into and out of the United States. So it is a very small number that has been blown up into a very huge deal because it's seen as he's a xenophobe and he's horrible and he's evil and he's bad and he's, you know what he is? He's bad at messaging. Most people are. You know what gets you in trouble in life? Being bad at messaging. If you tell somebody something, do it in a way that everybody understands. Right? Put it out there. It took 2 days almost to get everything out of the White House that made sense so people could put it all together. But by the time that had happened, the damage had already been done. President Obama, who spoke today, which I don't think is a good thing. I think if you're president, you should be free of the other presidents coming down on. I really do. George W. Bush, I think, was very quiet, as was Clinton, and I think you're free of that, and you should be. He's already, you know, he's been out of the White House for what, like 10 days, and already he's saying something how this is bad. This is a religion ban. It's not. It's not a religion ban. That's the way people are going to view it. And you can't change those people's viewpoints. I can't look at somebody who's angry, who wants to go to God knows where this is going to happen, right? Like, let's say it's an airport. Let's say it's a bus station. Let's say it's a mall. Let's say I can't convince those people that they need to take a deep breath. They want to get their voice heard. Let them go get their voice heard. Doesn't matter what this president is going to do from here on out. He's got somewhat of an enemy in the press. And he's fine with that. He knows where his bread is buttered. And all he has to do is make sure that those people continue to like them. And over time, he'll hope that there's another 5 to 10 million Americans that at some point in time, he'll be able to persuade to come over to his side. And he'll feel good. And if he brings jobs back to this country and there's safety here, it's a win-win for him. It's a win-win for the country. But he's got to work on his messaging. Because the media is going to talk about this crap all day. The media is going to hyper-focus on this crap all day. The media is going to focus on the stuff because there is, this is sexy. Sex sells, and this is sexy. Today, he did away with a ton of regulations. He's got the person that's going to handle the small business inside of the administration through. She was confirmed. You've got things like that that matter, that really matter to day-to-day life choices that we make. Things like this matter. More so than whether or not somebody who's coming here from a different country who we didn't think would vetted and had a green card and it didn't get through, but did get through and they got detained and we're going to cheer them on and turn them into massive heroes as somebody who's resisting the evil that is Donald Trump. That doesn't matter to your life. What matters is they're looking at loosening regulations. What matters is they're looking to kickstart the economy. What matters is they're looking to take on taxes next, which is what a lot of people are screaming about. What matters is we still haven't seen a replacement plan for Obamacare. Not whether or not 110 or 20 people were detained and inconvenienced for a few hours. I've been inconvenienced before at an airport. in a different country and sent back to my country. It was an inconvenience. It was frustrating. It pissed me off. But nobody lost sleep over it. Let's all move on, shall we? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. What's next? We do what's next next. We talk about what's next for the internet, i.e. net neutrality. Whoa! What's next for net neutrality? We have ceased to be the net kings, and we have given up power, or have we? Net neutrality under Trump is what's next on What's Next. This is the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? We do it every single day at this time. Same time, same bat channel, right here. What's next? What's next for the net under Trump and the FCC run by Republicans? Ajit Pai will be running the Federal Communications Commission. He was one of the lone dissenting voices when it came to net neutrality. He was appointed in 2012 by former President Barack Obama. He's a strong advocate for rules. FCC decided to essentially reclassify the net as telecommunications service under Title II of the Communications Act to give the agency regulatory authority over the internet service providers. The legal battle drew praise from consumers and advocates and was decried by telecom industry and lobbyists. But waiting until recent years to solidify the FCC powers in regulating the internet, there's not a lot of law out there for this, right? So this is all new territory. The way you look, essentially, think about it as all roads, right? You got a lot of roads, and some roads are used a little bit, and some roads are used a lot by some people, right? There's a lot. And we want to charge people for using that more. If you're using it more, we want to charge you for more, right? And that sounds fine and dandy. So if a big company is using more, they should be charged more for the usage of their data and the usage of eating up everything else, where somebody who uses it sparingly shouldn't be charged as much. It's essentially get what you pay for kind of thing. And everybody points at Europe. Europe's amazing. Europe's great. Europe's awesome. I've got friends that are in Europe. I lived in Europe for a long time. Let me tell you something. Slow your roll. You get what you get. It's spotty at best. It's more like DSL than anything else. And what ends up happening is, all of this, again, is about fairness, all right? As we talk about net neutrality, it's about fair. You use more, you should pay for it more, right? That's it? Well, here's the thing. Who does it get passed off to? The consumers who use it more. So for all of you out there that have these plans that are unlimited, you're going to see more usage or a slowing down of your plan. That's going to drive people crazy, especially now with everything moving away from audio and or pictures and words to video. That usage is going to spike and you're going to end up having to pay more. Something we didn't talk about because we didn't look. Unintended consequences. Net neutrality was supposed to make it fairer for everybody. And whenever the government gets involved in making things more fairer for everybody, who does it always hurt? It usually hurts the little people. The ones they say they're there to protect usually pay the steepest and biggest price. Now, based on his past statements, Ajit Pai's biggest concern regarding the net neutrality has been the fact that he believes the FCC has overreached its legal authority to regulate the internet as an information service. It's really about the Title II jurisdiction, he said, that's so objectionable. Most Republicans and some Democrats say that this is where the fear comes in about, you know, did they overreach? Did we go too far? We've kind of ceded the being the kings of the internet and now we've changed it to something else. Again, all in the guise of being fair. I don't know what's going to happen. I think when you look out for it is going to be a long, drawn-out process. The one thing about politics is the wheels of politics turn slowly in a lot of ways. So something like this, which we may fear may not happen for a while and may even at some point in time be flipped around. But right now, as Ajit Pai said, to my mind, there's not going to be some radical break from the way we enjoy the internet now if we move away from Title II. And I don't think so. There is always this want to be fair. And remember in life, when you try to be fair a lot of times, there are people that you think that you're helping to be fairer for usually end up being the ones that pay the price. And while we look to Europe, and Europe has some great innovative ideas, the internet is not a place I would look to when it comes to fairer. Because the one thing that they share, by and large, is crappy DSL-like service in a lot of places. Oh, sure, there's some good places out there, but those are few and far between. And unless you live in a lot of the nice hubs of Europe, you know, the Londons, the Glasgows, the Paris, the Madrids, you find it spotty at best. And even in some of those places, it's a struggle. That's what's next for net neutrality under the FCC and Trump, run by the Republicans. Just got a tweet. You can tweet at me at Chad Benson Show. Tweeter writes, at Chad Benson from Beta JDL. I'm not quite sure. Every night you complain about liberals. Sounds like you lost the election. I didn't lose the election. I'm not even complaining about liberals. I'm complaining about the way that they're handling stuff and that it doesn't matter what this president does. It matters none. He could say it's raining outside and people will complain that he made it rain and they'll go outside and pick it. At some point in time, let's let the maybes become certainties before we lose our minds. That's what I'm asking people to do. Let the maybes become certainties before you decide that this president is the worst human being to ever walk the face of the earth. I heard somebody last night, it was a Lily Tomlin, said the Nazis. Once again, slow your roll on the Nazis. It doesn't work, and you lose your argument right then and there. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We got two polls up at Chad Benson Show. The first poll is, does Trump's temporary travel ban go too far? Currently, 79% says no, it doesn't. 21% says yes, it does. And how big of a fight will Trump have on his hands with the SCOTUS pick? 6% says no fight at all. 47% says huge fight but winnable. 24% says filibuster. 23% says nuclear option time. So Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Texter wrote in. They should have given the people with visas and green cards 24 to 48 hours to get through. Look, I think the way they handled it was wrong. I think they realize they've made some missteps. That's going to happen, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen on a few occasions. Remember, this administration is just getting their legs underneath them. They're still trying to figure everything out. And I think also at the breath at which the likes of Trump is working catches a lot of politicians and law and the laws off guard because, well, they don't quite get it. You know, this is what work looks like 24/7, and this guy's ready to bring it. You can text the program 323-538-2423. We live in a world where looks are of utmost importance. It's a world we live in. Looks are utmost important. I don't think that, you know, but I think a lot of people do nowadays, especially a younger generation, a millennial generation. If you've got kids, you know how they feel. They want to look good. They want to be smart. It's not just now about being good looking. It's being smart, good looking, charming, handsome, beautiful, extracurricular activity. How can your life be any better? And it's got to be lived out in the open so everybody can see it, even if you're the only one living that life. But you got to make sure that everybody understands that. And if that means that maybe, just maybe, in this selfie age that you've got to go under the knife and or get Botox at a young age, a teenage age, well, knock yourself out. Get ready for this. Botox injections is up big time especially amongst the youth of America. They say young girls anywhere between the ages of 19 and 25 are just as likely to get Botox as their mothers in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Wow, that's insane. It's up by 41% between 2011 and 2015, according to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. It peaked at the pre-recession about 2005, fell off, and now it's seeing a huge, huge return because people want to look good. It's crazy. We will literally go to any depth out there to change our appearance to look as best as possible. I work out. I try to work out. I'm working out now back to a good pace where I'm working out, you know, four or five times a week. You know, I worked out late last night. I worked out this morning in between the shows. I worked out, you know, I'm working out as much as I possibly can. Worked out Friday night. That was how my exciting Friday night was. I'm working out quite a bit, and I have zero problem with that. And I like the fact that my clothes fit nice and I look okay. But the truth is, I like the fact that I have energy and I feel better. Right? That's not what this is about. And I go to these gyms and I see these. There are people there that take selfies at the gym. Do you know how weird that is? Do you know how weird that is? Or they have their friend film them while they lift weights. That's just bizarre. I could never in a million years ask anybody, hey, dude, I'm going to get on the treadmill. Why don't you watch me and film me? You know, what does that say? But we are so obsessed, even more so. It's the Kardashian factor, right? There is that factor. The Kardashians have made a living. People now feel like they're models and that they mean something because they get viewed online and get lots of likes and lots of adulation from a bunch of people, mostly girls, from a bunch of people that they'll never meet who only want to have sex with them and ogle at them, but it makes them feel better. Well, it makes me feel better. What are you missing? But I see it with guys, too. I was there today running in my slovenly, slow-paced, as fast as I possibly can. Look, I feel good. I can do a mile in about 9 minutes, 10 minutes, good pace. 15 minutes today, I did a mile and just about a mile and a half, and then I swam. But as I was sitting there and I was working on the weights, there are guys over in the free weight section, and they're filming themselves and taking pictures, and they're literally flexing in the mirror. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're young. I don't get it because I'm not them. I don't get it because I don't understand where they're going. This is the world they live in. People their age respond to this. This is how they communicate now. But at least they're working out. But the want to have this perfect body, the want to have this look. And I will tell you that being good looking and being in shape and being, you know, somewhat presentable will get you further in life. That's not why they're doing it. That's not. They're not doing it because they want to get further in life or because somebody will give them an extra opportunity or maybe pay them a little bit more money or whatever. They're doing it because they want the adulation of other people. I need people to like me. I need people to like me. And my mom and I battle back and forth about this because my sister, I'll go on her Instagram every once in a while. I said, Hunter, stop it. Knock it off. And she laughs at me because I'm big bro. But I'm like, Mom, look, this is just what it is. You know, this is what it is. When we were kids, we'd take pictures. People come over. Your mom and dad would show you pictures, you know, pictures of, oh, here's our son or here's our daughter and this is this. And they do that. The difference is now is you only show them to people you know. Now you put them out there for the world to see. And they eat it up. They love it. Oh, how many likes did I get? How many views have I got? How many? I need to know. It's vitally important. And now that we've got people, according to this new study, who are willing now to go and get Botox, like at 23 years old, what could you possibly need Botox for minus any kind of actual medical treatment? And with all the filters we have, what do you need Botox for? For your lips? I'd like to look like a trout or maybe a bass, if that's possible. Is that possible? It's not possible. I would really like to look like a bass. I would love to look like a bass. Is that possible? It's not possible. Okay. Are you sure? It is funny, though. It is funny. I'm like, man, look at those lips. She should have a hook in them. Chad, you're a jerk. But I guess that's the shallow world we live in. And I don't come down on kids because we all like a little adulation, right? We all like a little bit of attaboy. We all like to see that, oh, you know what? I posted something a lot of people are talking about. All of us like that. Anybody who says they don't like that is fooling themselves. The difference is we like it, but we also realize there's a reason we posted that picture or there's a reason that we're trying to garner a reaction out of people. Oh, how? The other side of things is these kids, this is just who they are. So I don't blame them for wanting to communicate the way they do or posting things the way they do. I don't blame any of them for that. What I do think is sad, though, is the fact that kids now feel there's a necessity to go and change themselves, to start having, you know, Botox or maybe a nose job or something this early in life when there's no need for it. And it's not even, and again, it's not even about this is going to make me, maybe I'm going to breathe better or this helps me with my, you know, sagging eyelids or I don't even know what. What do you have Botox besides the lips? What's like in the injection of the eyes? What, for the wrinkles? Like what 23-year-old has wrinkles? If you're 23, like maybe Ariana Grande, because what is she, the hardest working 23-year-old ever? Maybe her. But it's sad. It's sad. I couldn't even imagine that. I mean, all of us could use a touch-up in life, I'm sure, right? You know, after a while, the house needs a lick of paint. And we've all thought about it. It's like, well, you know, if I lost 20 pounds, maybe I get some lipo, or maybe I get this, that, and the other. Maybe I could, you know, everybody's thought about stuff like that. But then we go, no. And it's not because we're, it's not because we don't fantasize. Like, all of us would like to wake up tomorrow and be perfect. Every one of us. You don't think you'd like to wake up tomorrow and look like David Beckham? Right? Minus the voice. Hello. You don't think that? Of course we would. But we know that's not going to be true. And there's a portion to liking yourself. And that comes from within. This generation wants to be liked by others. It's as important, if not more so important. And we have that to a certain extent. But I think we've learned how to deal with liking ourselves and finding out who we are. And I think as an older generation, as much as we come down on the snowflakes, as much as we come down on the younger generation, this is who they are. This is how they deal. And maybe through time, they'll learn in other ways that it's not as important as many people think it is. 23, man. Phil, if you could have one thing done, if you could go in today and we say, look, dude, we're going to give you 20 grand. You can get whatever you, what are you going to get done?
Oh, I'm getting the liposuction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's most people, especially in the 40s, right? You know, it's like, you're not fat. You're pretty good shape for a 46-year-old. See, that's just it too. I think I'm in good shape for 46-year-old, but I'm not in 22-year-old shape, but I'm never going to be in 22-year-old shape because I'm not 22.
Let me put it this way. I don't have to watch my weight. It's right here where I can see it.
And I think that's where we go, right? That's where we get frustrated as people is we want to look like we used to at 23, 24, 25. And it's tougher to do. But we measure ourselves. And don't ever let people tell you we don't compare and measure ourselves, no matter what it is. Because we do. We're a nation that compares itself. Everybody compares something to somebody and somebody to somebody else. That's how we know what we like. That's how we know what we want. That's how we know what we'll take and we won't take. It's the truth. But we also compare ourselves against people and against us when we were younger. It's like those jeans are a little tight. Well, you know, at 22, they were loose. At 42, they're not as, you know, loose. And they're also not in style. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the Fine Program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. If you were to have anything done, we give you the money to have it done, what are you getting done? You're going to get lipo? Are you going to get breast enhancements? Are you going to get, what is it, pecs? Right now, that's what the guys can get. They can get fake chest muscles. What is it going to, you're going to do? Are you going to get a facelift? Text the program, 323-538-2423. Little say what? They're going to try to bring a frozen guy back to life. Wait till you hear this new thing that's quite the fad. And life really does this right before you die. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? I know this sounds horrible, but then the Japanese are kind of odd people. I'm going to say it right now. We can all agree with this without it being a racial thing. Somebody will turn it into that because that's what we do in this country. Let's overreact. Let's freak out. But they are, you know, they're afraid to talk to each other. They don't date anymore. It's just they're a very unique place. We were sitting here because this is the biggest fad right now in Japan. Swaddling for adults. Swaddling. Health experts are saying swaddling is a form of therapy that many people in Tokyo and around the island nation are now using. They swaddle themselves. Swaddling for adults. Swaddling. I'm putting that out there. So you got a baby. What do? You wrap it up really tight. You swaddle it. Sometimes just all you see is his head and the rest of it's swaddled in like it's inside of the womb. You know, it's all cocooned out. That's good. That's a good one right there, producer Anthony. But that's what it is. And now that's a big thing. And I, judging by what I'm seeing here on this video, is I don't know if it's swaddling or if it looks like it's going to be a hit by the mob, because it's a person in a white sheet. And it's tied up. It looks like it's a hit by the mob. That's what I'm going out there with. And that's going to be in New York City in no time. Just like the people that are professional cuddlers, right? That's going to be there. Someone hold me. Ah, oh, jeez. You need that? Really? Really? According to researchers, life does do this. It passes right before your eyes. According to doctors, That's right. Researchers who have had near-death experiences suggest that the phenomenon rarely involves flashbacks in chronological order, as it happens in Hollywood films, but they say many memories flash right before your eyes simultaneously as you pass over to the other side. Often their minds play tricks with people, reliving own experiences from point of view of others who have been involved. The study found that many flashbacks involved intensely emotional moments. Wow. So it really does happen. They also found out that some of your body parts and organs will actually live on for a few days after you die without the help of machinery. So how creepy is that? You're just going along. Like, my left foot is just still going. You can't stop my left foot. You can only hope to contain it. Chad, that's not very nice. And finally, my friends, we talked a bit about it last week. Cryogenic company that started in the 60s. It was freezing people just after they died in hopes of bringing them back and reviving them one day with the opportunity of eternal life. Well, Robert Nielsen has revealed that they first used cryogenics liquid, the liquid nitrogen, in 1967. And now they're going to try to bring somebody back. That's what they're hoping for. They're going to try to bring a human being back. I find this to be creepy, and it all sounds exciting, right? Like, that's the whole point. Like, because if you're being sold this bill of goods in the 60s, that they're going to cryogenically freeze you, and whatever ailment you have, that by the time they wake you up, that it will have fixed it all, right? But the thing is if you died at 83, your life is now eternally 83 if they bring your ass back. It's not like they go, by the way, Mr. Stevens, I know that you're super excited to be back here, that everybody you know has been dead for 40 years and that you know nobody else, but you now have arthritis, dementia. It's like you have all of these horrible things. The good news is, though, we have a little blue pill that we didn't have back then. So, maybe, just maybe, there's some hope. It is Super Bowl week. Say, what? I know, right? Super Bowl week is here. And according to a new poll, only 27% of Americans want the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. That's jealousy right there, producer Phil. Those people need hater aid. That's the new report. Well, you know what? 53% are pulling for the Atlanta Falcons. And Phil sent me, what was the trending hashtag? Not my Super Bowl?
Not my Super Bowl.
Not my Super Bowl. 27% of people want the Patriots to win. 53% are pulling for the Falcons. By the way, 19% are still hoping the Cowboys will win. Not quite sure how that's going to work out for everybody. But it is, look, I understand, right? We hate the Yankees, and we hate the Lakers and when they were great, and we hate the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we hate the whoever it is to hate at that moment because of the great team. The Patriots are that team right now that there's lots of hate for because they seem like they have it all. You know, you got the quarterback with the beautiful wife. You've got the evil empire as far as your coaching staff. It's, you know, everybody thinks they're cheaters. You've got Deflategate, all of this stuff. And here comes the Falcons, and everybody's excited because any time that somebody can beat the vaunted and hated Patriots, it's great. But I hope it doesn't happen because I love Tom Brady because he's my bromance. I think we all know this, right? He's my bromance. And in fact, I love him so much that I will even allow him to introduce me to Giselle. That's the kind of guy I am. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. Say what? 323-538-2423. It's the text line. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.